Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which just happens to also be Father's Day. We wish all the dads a very blessed and happy Father's Day. And Bishop, you're quite busy yesterday with the ordination of Thomas Swartz, Raymond Pendleton, and David Snow, all ordained priests yesterday. So
it was a great day and three wonderful men, so I'm very pleased and grateful to God and to them and their families for all that they're be able to give to the church.
Yes, and we thank them for their commitment and for their follow-through through all the studies that they've made through. And they've stayed with the course, and we thank them for that, and they'll be a blessing to our diocese.
Very much so.
Yes, as we listen to today's gospel from St. Matthew.
Yeah. So today is also the 11th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are listening today. And the gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. In the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few, so ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territories or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A very fitting gospel on this Father's Day, and in light of yesterday's ordinations too, a lot of this rings true. The laborers for the harvest, one of the phrases that jumps out at me and resonates quite beautifully.
Sure. Yeah, you know, when I looked at it and studied a little bit, there's really three sections here. They kind of overlap in some ways, mm-hmm. but if you look at kind of the three movements of the gospel that we have here, chapter 9 of Matthew, the first consideration, I think, would be that at the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Jesus' heart is the divine heart. So you could say, we could say, that there was a divine compassion, that Jesus looked at people not as we would.
Right.
Unfortunately, at times we ignore mm-hmm. people's troubles, but God's heart can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so he saw a world in pain. He saw people in pain. And for that, he was moved. He saw them, as we see at the end of the gospel as well. That's why it kind of overlapped. Mm-hmm. But the very mm-hmm. last sentence that we have here, there was also those who were sick, and he was moved by that. He was moved by those who were troubled with unclean spirits, the dead, so many people that were hungry. And another one that we experience so much today, the loneliness of life, the mm-hmm. loneliness of people, a world of sorrows, so many ailments, not just physical, but the spiritual ailments mm-hmm. of people,
right.
The heart of God was moved. And Jesus, it's so interesting and beautiful that St. Matthew recorded that in his gospel, that his heart was moved. And we just can't read over that as if that's nothing. We're dealing with the divine heart here. And so what Jesus saw in people was what God sees in us even today.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus sees in us today, and his heart is still moved when we think about our society, our the issues that surround us, the wars, people that have fallen into drug habits and are just addicted to something that's killing them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world sorrows, the hunger still, the people that we see on the streets. That the heart of God was moved and is moved today. And that's something I think as we start, and for fathers, as you said, too, it's not that we can all go out and do everything today, but to know that we need to have a heart that can be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the callousness of society, we see these things on television all the time. We see the news media discrediting, you know, the help that's being given to people, immigrants. You know, just there's a war, almost like a war against people helping other people.
Right.
And we get hardened of heart. And, you know, remember the Psalm 95, harden not your hearts as at Meribah.
Mm-hmm.
When you become so petrified in your heart that you don't see the needs of others. But we're all brothers and sisters. We're all loved by God. We're all seen by God. And for us to ignore, especially, you know, those of us who are of a faith,
mm-hmm.
and especially as we speak in the channel is a Catholic channel, but the Christian heart has to be moved in some ways, mm-hmm. and moved also not just to pray for people or give a dollar in the collection for some cause, but, to, you know, to Jesus didn't go into that, but his heart was moved.
Right.
And he responded to people. And I think that's what this introduction of this gospel today is saying to us today.
Mm-hmm. It sets the stage. It challenges us to change our hearts, as you say,
yeah.
instead of just passing it over as the beginning of the gospel with just a word to say that he was moved. He genuinely felt this, and it was something that his heart genuinely did go out to yeah. these people when he saw them.
Yeah, because he lived with them day in and day out. Mm-hmm. He walked the streets. There
he
was no
them.
Television. There was no internet.
Right.
There was no news media. There was none of those things today that can create a mentality in us,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, and that we follow.
Right.
You know, we have our favorite channel, we have our favorite blogger, we have our favorite whatever, and
right.
all of that kind of creates a mentality that's maybe not ours,
right.
or that taints our mentality or our heart that wants to be compassionate. So we have to be very careful that we don't fall into that and we totally ignore even somebody in our own family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the older you get, like myself, when you begin to have aches and pains yourself, but others, you know, in your family, and you can, you know, if we're not careful, we can just turn a blind eye,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want to do that at all. So, yeah, so the heart of God is so open and so refreshing that he wants us to be the instruments, which is leads us into the second part
mm-hmm.
of this gospel, where he says, seeing this issue as like sheep without a shepherd, he says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant. So the harvest being all these problems, situations, but the laborers are few.
Mm-hmm.
So ask the harvest master to send out laborers into his harvest. There's a solution there, but it's not just, we use this for kind of a call to a vocation, which certainly can be used that way and
mm-hmm.
certainly mostly is. But all of us, let me say it again, all of us have a vocation
mm-hmm.
from our baptism, every one of us. And the principal vocation is to follow Jesus Christ, to be his disciple, to be not only a disciple, but a disciple with a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that term so much, and I'm so grateful to the Holy Father for bringing that to our attention, that we are disciples with a mission, a missionary disciple,
mm-hmm.
Not just a mission on the other side of the world, but a mission that's facing us right here in so many ways, without getting into particulars. But if we look at that list I spoke of before, of people mm-hmm. that are in pain, the sick, people who are lonely, hungry, that's our agenda, and they need a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, we are all responsible to be those shepherds to other people, to reach out and to walk with them and to respond to them, even if it's not that I can, you know, build them a house, but it's something I can do to make them feel unlonely.
Right.
Connect
with them.
Connected,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, too, where we'd spoken about this on previous programs about how a lot of times because of the technology, because of the things that sort of distract us, we find it to easy to become distracted and disconnected from one another. And Jesus, because of that, you so beautifully stated how his heart was moved, it's time for us to kind of clear those things off and allow our own hearts to be moved in a similar way to be able to take action. And maybe it's helping somebody across the street, like you said, maybe not across the globe, but at least we make the effort and we move forward with it.
Yeah. And you know, I always remember the letter of St. John, who said, if you cannot love the God, if you cannot love the God you cannot see, if you cannot love the brother or sister that you can see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a very challenging and sometimes condemning words of the gospel or of the scriptures, that how can you say you love a God that you do not see, mm-hmm. if you turn your back, if you ignore, if you speak bad of somebody that you can see, because the great commandment is to love God and our neighbor. And Christianity is not for the weak. Our conscience our conscience has to be moved to develop a new conscience in us, an awareness, to have that heart of Jesus, the heart of God, in a world today is not easy. But maybe that can be our program for the year,
right?
To develop the heart of God in a broken world.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
Many facets of the Diocese of Corpus Christi touch our lives in various ways, virtually every day. For example, the church promotes natural family planning, that is, planning the birth of children through achieving or postponing pregnancy at a desired time, using the Billings method, which requires no surgery, medications, nor devices. Education is the key to natural family planning. Couples must complete both Session 1 and Session 2 classes. To learn more about natural family planning, call the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, 361-882-6191. To register for upcoming sessions, visit diocesecc.org/NFP classes. The Diocese of Corpus Christi, more than church, it's a way of life.
South Texans are planning a big night on Saturday, July 8th at the Community Life Center in Premont. The reason? A huge casino night fundraiser benefiting the local St. Teresa Catholic Parish in that city. There'll be loads of entertainment, great food, including an open buffet and menudo at midnight, casino-style games, prizes, and plenty of fun for everyone. It all begins at 6:30 p.m. Sponsorship opportunities are available now. To purchase tickets or for questions, call the parish office, 361-348-2202.
Thank you for listening to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday morning. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. The 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we're discussing Matthew's Gospel today. And Bishop, you were saying in our previous segment how there are some different movements or different themes running side by side in this Gospel. You were discussing that.
So we kind of covered the first two. So the first one was Jesus himself looking at the crowds and having his heart moved with pity for them, because they were troubled, abandoned. And then at the end of the gospel, they were sick. There were people that were dead, probably in the streets. There were lepers, people with illnesses. And all this was there in front of him. And facing that human drama, he could see that they were people who were lonely and they needed a shepherd. So the second part we spoke of is that he told his disciples that this harvest is great, these needs are so great, and ask the Lord prayer to send workers into the field. So that's kind of the second. But then Jesus, the third part, now we see that Jesus takes action himself. And so then he says he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over the unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and illness. So already he is taking which is interesting. This is, you can see the development of the church, of the community, that it's not just a one-man show,
right,
or one God show, one person show, that God, Jesus, gathered people to say, okay, I'm giving you that same authority. Now go out in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, and cure the sick, touch these people, be with them, help them, assist them. So he sends them out to do that ministry of that mission. And then he goes further in this, what I call the third part. He names 12 of them, and he calls them apostles. The 12 apostles, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot. So he specifically, we know from the gospel, there were these 12 that he chose for him to begin forming them and having them reach out. Although all of us are sent and called in a special way. He did give them some restrictions, and I think that's always interesting.
Right.
He sent them out, do not go into pagan territories or enter a Samaritan town. Now, I find that very interesting when I'm reading this. The Samaritan town is exactly where Jesus went and sat down with the Samaritan woman.
Right.
It was a territory that Jews normally did not go into, and a pagan territory because they were not treated well. So we don't know. I don't really have the expertise to know why he would say that, although he did go into the Samaritan town. But his preference was go after the lost sheep of the house of Israel and make the proclamation that the kingdom of God is here. So Jesus wanted to touch those people that were longing for the kingdom of God, that were longing for salvation. And so he wanted to go there first. And we remember in other places where, why should I help you? Because I've come to help the house of Israel. So we see this kind of talk, but we also know that God came for everyone.
Right.
Jesus came for everyone. But I think it's interesting, also kind of relating in some ways to the to Father's Day, but when Jesus calls them apostles and he forms them as apostles, and I would like to just, being a successor of the apostle, one of the apostles myself, I've told the story before that I've you can even look it up on the internet now with my name. And it'll take you back to 1500s. But to see the lineage, you know, that we are all ordained from somebody, from somebody, from somebody, all the way back. But what is an apostle? An apostle is, by name, one who is sent, kind of like it's an envoy and an ambassador. You know, when I was getting, when I was being ordained a priest, we usually choose scriptural passages that kind of characterize what we want to do or who we feel that we are, we want to become. And mine was from St. Paul's letter, to be ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, of course, as we know, is someone who represents the other. So an apostle in particular is one who represents Jesus, who has his mind, who has his heart, and is sent to bring the good news that he came to bring, the salvation to others. But to do that, we have to, first of all, be present to the one who is present to us and wants to be present to others. That's always a challenge, you know, in a busy world. And I meet every Thursday morning with a group of bishops on Zoom, but we all talk about that. You know, we have to pause and train ourselves more. To say, no, I can't do that, so that we can be in Jesus's presence in prayer. And of course, the example is Jesus himself, who always went away and spent time in prayer. Because if you can't represent someone on without being present to him and allowing him to be present to us.
Right.
And I know that that's something that my journal reflects quite a bit of wanting to be in that presence of him, because we're heralds of his good news. We're not heralds of our opinions. We're not heralds of others' opinions. Right. We're not heralds of certain ideologies. That's not what an apostle is. An apostle is a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. always trying to make it relevant to the situations of today, but we're not here to bring our opinions and to promote self, but always to promote the divine self, which is God himself, and to speak of divine certainties, divine truths in the midst of a twisted world that we live in. So it's necessary for us as apostles and for the time of Jesus that they spent time with him. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, or not interesting, but it's noteworthy to see that Jesus did not elect the apostles at the end. Mm-hmm. He started 3 years before to let them be with him in that very critical and crucial time, even to the point of his own persecution, death, and resurrection. He wanted them to be there to witness that. And as we know, they didn't always understand, and they weren't always present to him. Uh-huh. But in the end, they certainly caught on that this is what Jesus was about, and this was the salvation that comes through suffering and death and resurrection.
So in those 3 years, the formation that they went through from the beginning, from this moment to the time that Jesus was crucified and beyond, mm-hmm. they all of them, well, except for one of them, grew and offered themselves and learned what you're talking about in terms of being present with Jesus and carrying that to others.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as an apostle, but I think in a sense we're all these disciples of Jesus, we need to have the same feelings mm-hmm. that he does. When you mentioned that, I was thinking of Peter's denial, and mm-hmm. who was closer to him than Peter?
Right.
And yet 3 times he said, I don't even know who he is. Mm-hmm. But that's the point of, you know, we all want to be kind of, we want to be spiritual ourselves, not in the sense of being irrelevant, but people who know what Jesus was about and we're present to him and he's present to us. We could take time even with that, even mm-hmm. though, you know, that's kind of in the Lenten season, but
right.
but to see what was that like for Peter to deny? What was it like for Jesus to hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And what was it for Peter to examine his conscience and to say, look what I just did, the one I love, mm-hmm. the one I follow, the one I speak about to others, I said I don't even know him. When you think about that as a point of prayer, it's very powerful.
It really is. And I think a lot of times, too, in that isolated moment, it's almost like the world has Peter as opposed to, you know, his connection with Jesus, and he's overwhelmed by all these people that recognize him, and he doesn't want to be persecuted himself, yet he went on to do what he did afterwards. But still, that set the stage for him later, so there was something that came out of it that all of us benefited from because of what he went through.
Kind of going back to the first part, too, as we were talking earlier, that how our minds can be formed.
Mm-hmm.
What was Peter's mind at that point? It was probably very fearful. He was
right.
fearful for his own life. He didn't want to be pointed out. Those things that the world around us creates in us, mm-hmm. if we're really disciples of Jesus Christ, we want everybody to know that.
Right.
And we're not on the top of the bleacher telling everybody, but
right.
we want to reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are challenges to that, and I think Peter certainly was challenged in that the courtyard of the high priest's place, his home, that night. But that's something we all go through.
Right.
And so it would be good as we're trying to develop the heart of Jesus that can be moved in front of these difficult situations. But do we have the heart? Or can we look at ourselves in that moment with Peter? I don't even know the man.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I be compassionate to people that are in need? Because I don't even know him.
Right.
Oh, I go to church on Sunday and I say my prayers, mm-hmm. but I don't know him. But Peter was in that difficult situation to have to renounce his own fears and say, and listen to the cock crow
mm-hmm.
and come back and ask for forgiveness and start over.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's important to every Christian to be able to examine themselves. Am I acting, thinking, speaking as if I don't know him?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm ineffective in being that laborer, that disciple in the world today that needs us so badly.
And even when we find ourselves in those situations like Peter, Jesus' heart, as you said at the beginning, moved with pity for us. And that's how much he loves us because, like you said, God's heart goes beyond anything that we have experienced or know because of the love that he has for us.
Even forgives all those people that turned away from him and weren't even there.
Right. Yeah. And with that thought, we come to the end of our program. Bishop, thank you so much for your reflection. And if you would close with a prayer.
Let's say kind of a spontaneous prayer for fathers.
Okay. So, all right.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, the gift of fathers is so beautiful because our fathers in many ways reflect your love, your strong love in our lives, the love that gives us direction, the love that forgives us, the love that welcomes us back when we do err. Bless all of our fathers today. Help them to be good fathers, knowing that they reflect your love in the lives of their children, in the lives of their wives and their families. Bless us this day and give us the joy of having you as our God, whose heart is moved always. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
It's been 75 years since the father and founder of the Shonestock Catholic movement visited Corpus Christi, and that is cause to celebrate. The place is Corpus Christi Cathedral, 505 North Upper Broadway, and the time is Saturday, July 8th at the 1:30 p.m. Holy Mass. There will also be a pilgrimage to each location. Father Joseph Kentenich visited in 1948. A reception will follow at the Shonestock Movement Center, 4343 Gaines Street. To RSVP or to get more information, call Anna De La Rosa, 361-688-2829.
The Catholic Daughters of America, Court 2399, will host their annual Summer Rummage Sale in the St. Philip the Apostle Catholic Church Parish Hall, 3513 Cimarron, 7 a.m. till 2 p.m., Friday and Saturday, July 14th and 15th. Parishioners have donated gently used clothing, jewelry, housewares, and many different items, something for everyone. Throughout the years, the Catholic Daughters from their rummage sale proceeds have awarded over $60,000 in scholarships to high school seniors. And with your help, they hope to continue that effort. To donate items or for more information, call 361-232-8723.